Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board today as, once again, we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so not based on denominational dogma or some ideological, philosophical rhetoric, but based on the authority of the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said to his disciples in the 17th chapter of John and in the 17th verse, "Thy word is truth." Jesus says the word of God is truth. Jesus says we can believe and trust in the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have any other better source to go to than the scripture to seek answers for the issues that we're faced with in life. I recommend it to you. It's called the Biblical Worldview, simply looking at the Word of God as the final authority, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that gives us the information, encouragement, and the comfort daily in our lives as we walk with Him and serve Him. Let me remind you also, ladies and gentlemen, you can dial 831-0917. 831-0917, and join in this dialogue and discussion today. We're going to be talking about earthquakes. Earthquakes and God's judgment. How do they play together? How do we relate what we see on a global national basis of the catastrophic events in the geological aspect of the world and the atmospherical dilemmas that we face sometimes with what's called hurricanes and floods and fires and so forth. Many get a little traumatized with that and think that somehow, some way, we need to be looking to the weather man, and I believe we need to look to the weather master, the one that created this whole world, and he controls it today. But I bring that up because, as you know, we've had a lot of this taking place recently, especially out in California. The nation's watched in what I call fear and horror as some of the events have taken place in California in the past few days. California, as you know, was hammered on Thursday the 4th, the 6.9 earthquake in Southern California. And then just the next day, about 3,000, within 24 hours, about 3,000 aftershocks. I didn't give that figure, the geologist in California did. About 3,000 aftershocks occurred. They said most of those aftershocks ranged about 4.0 on the Richter scale. And then the very next day on Friday, 7.1 earthquake hit California in almost the same area. And now we've been told by the experts that within the past 24 hours, in fact, on the early morning news this morning, the news report was that within the past 24 hours, a minimum of 1,500 aftershocks, and all of them ranging about 4.0 on the Richter scale, have taken place. In fact, I've watched some film footage of some of those earthquakes where gigantic swimming pools in backyards, the water just seemingly churning and bubbling and dancing out of the realm of the pool. And on one occasion, an individual was standing looking down in a giant, gaping, open hole across a broad portion of the desert land in California. Just the earth ripped open, looked like a giant knife had just ripped it open. Peering down into that great crevice in the earth. The earthquake that was that took place, the 7.1 earthquake, was felt across Nevada, over to Nevada, and even into Utah. I've done some research today on that subject. By the way, I find it interesting, fascinating, and we'll get to the point as to some of the rationale that I believe is behind it. I'm looking at a giant article. It's printed from Wikipedia, for whatever value that is. I have some reservations, but nevertheless, I believe this is factual. It says a list of earthquakes in the United States. It goes back to the early 1700s. And I have looked at them and counted them. California accounts for the largest majority of the earthquakes in America. In fact, since 1812, some 29, or maybe 30 now, yeah, it would be 30, earthquakes have taken place that are registered and listed. December the 8th, 1812, 6.9 to 7.5, 40 people were killed. January of 1857, 7.9 earthquake, 2 were killed. October of 1868, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But where I'm headed, during the 1800s, early 1900s, there seemed to be earthquakes on an occasion, pretty heavy ones that were recorded in California. But since about 1984, 84, 87, 89, 91, 92, 92 again, 92 again, 93, 94, 1999, 2003, 7, 2008, 2010, 2010, once again, 2014. And now in 2019, 2019, July the 4th and the 5th, we've had two major earthquakes in California. Ladies and gentlemen, the strongest earthquake to hit California was a 7.9, and we just had a 7.1, and the one that took the greatest number of lives was back in 1906. About 3,000 people died with a 7.9 earthquake then, and even with the, how would you say, the weather reporting being what it is today, where way in advance you can know these things, or some of them, in some of these cases, only minutes or seconds advance warning before they take place because they're so out of control of man. But yet, the point that I'm making, as I analyze the data in relationship to earthquakes, and as we look at the biblical record, we find that, number one, God is in control. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, when we see the dangers of what has taken place and the damages that's happened, we need to understand that the roads were cracked, the homes were destroyed, buildings were unsafe, dangerous, and some of them having their homes to catch fire because of the broken gas lines that had taken place. Multitudes and multitudes of people in California living outside their homes today for fear of another quake that could collapse their home and kill them in it. And all of Californians live today at this very moment in a state of shock, state of concern and uncertainty, because they're all concerned about, could this be the next one, be the big one? Could this be the big one, as they call it? Here's an article that says, after two quakes shake California, residents wonder, are we getting closer to the big one? Further in the article, it says, it's constant adrenaline, he said, because we don't know if the little one is going to be the next big one. This individual said his residents last week woke up to the headlines driving the point home, July the 4th, earthquake. Won't delay the big one, the article said in the paper there. Then on Friday, from Los Angeles Times, the New York Times reported, Thursday's earthquake was a reminder of the big one that yet lurks. Here's another article that is very similar in style and nature. It says, could the massive Southern California earthquakes trigger the big one on the San Andreas Fault? Twin quakes, the biggest to hit Southern California in decades, rattled and parched stretches of the Mojave Desert on Thursday, July the 4th, and Friday, July the 5th, sending seismic waves rippling through the earth that could be felt from Los Angeles down to San Jose. Thankfully, no deaths were reported, partially because the two earthquakes hit a sparsely populated area of the region of the Golden State. That ruptured faults were not part of the San Andreas Fault system, which snake 800 miles from the north to the southern area's coastline, where the North American and Pacific platelets meet. But is there a chance that these quakes could somehow transfer stress to the San Andreas Fault, potentially triggering the much-feared, quote, big one in the state's most popular cities? Theoretically, the article says, though there's no known link between the two fault systems geographically, and because there's still much to learn about the complicated fault system that ruptured, it's difficult to say, they're telling us, whether the San Andreas Fault took an additional stress for the recent quake that could cause the big one. So the point that I make with reading the excerpts from those two articles is all of California now is concerned, and their thoughts, could this be the big one? Could the next one be the big one? And the big one, ladies and gentlemen, is where they're talking about the two platelets, the northern-southern platelets and the San Andreas Fault, where they bang together, and it could cause a major, major, major split that some geologists say could literally shear off the state of California into the Pacific Ocean. Now, some say that's not possible. I think anything is possible when it comes to what we're talking about with the great earthquakes, because in a moment we're going to look at some biblical text and biblical record as to what God has always done with earthquakes. But I want us to think for a moment, ladies and gentlemen, of the potentiality of the state of California being destroyed completely. Although there's no known deaths from the two quakes and over 5,000 aftershocks total, and most of them are ranging around the 4.0 on the Richter scales. But today, Californians live in fear. Most of America look at it on the basis that could it happen to us? What is next? Is this something that could ripple across our nation? Well, we've had earthquakes across America in different geographical locations down through the past couple of centuries. We're finding an increase, ladies and gentlemen, in the earthquakes across the world, around the globe. But should we recognize, here's the question, should we recognize and understand, ladies and gentlemen, that earthquakes and other violent geological and astrological events and elements are all under the sovereign control of Holy God? I believe that's the point that we need to recognize and we need to understand today, ladies and gentlemen, because we find in Matthew chapter 24, verses 6, 7, and 8, the scripture says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me just do a lot of digression. We're talking about earthquakes today, but wars and rumblings of wars and rumors, that means the word rumblings of wars. And there's not a 24-hour cycle around the globe. There's not a war or breakout of war, a continuum of a war, or the rumblings, the rumors of a war breaking out. Verse 7 then says, when Matthew 24, verse 7 says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes, and diverse places. And all these are the beginnings of sorrows." The beginning of the birth pangs, the labor pangs, the travail, waiting for the ultimate time when God says enough is enough. Luke 21, verse 9, 10, 11, part of the Synoptic Gospels, the parallel text, saying very much the same thing in verse 9, 10, 11. "But when you should hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nations shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall be from heaven." Ladies and gentlemen, that's God speaking. Jesus speaking in the text, but it's God. It's what God's word says is going to take place. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that in the final days, and we'll go back to that in a moment, the final days, the days of the tribulation. By the way, you can rest assured that if you're saved, you won't be here I know I won't be here. And somebody not long ago, just a few years ago, that doesn't believe in the rapture and thinks that the Christian's going to live through the tribulation. I said, when the rapture comes, you can have my library. I've got about 13,000 volumes in my personal library. And he was enamored by my books, and he said he'd love to have them. I said, they're yours when the rapture comes. If you're here, you can have them. You can use them. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, you won't be here. The rapture will have already taken us out. The days of the tribulation, these signs, miracles, and wonders, these earthquakes and pestilences in diverse places, will take place on an intensified level and will be that very thing that God uses to get the attention of the Jewish people, the apple of God's eye, and those that are saved during the days of the tribulation. It will get their attention that they might say yes to Yeshua Messiah as Savior and as Lord. But ladies and gentlemen, you go back to Numbers chapter 16, and we're not going to read the 50 verses, but in chapter 16, verses 1 through 50, there's a story of Korah and his rebellion against Moses and Aaron and their leadership, and how God used an earthquake as his punishment because of their sin. Now, I say that because there's the high probability that what we see taking place around the globe today in certain areas of the globe and in America on the left coast called California, I personally believe, and you can disagree and that's your prerogative, personally believe that it's God saying, I'm in charge, I'm in control. You can't keep on in your state of wickedness, deplorable sin, immorality, and God not have his attention brought to it, this brought to his attention, and he responds. In fact, in Numbers 16, verse 8, 9, 10, 11, and Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel that bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. And he hath brought thee near him and all thy brethren and sons of the Levi, sons of Levi with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also, for which cause both thou and thy company are gathered together against the Lord, and what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And then in verse 19 and following, and Korah gathered all the congregation against them out of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and said unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And in verse 26, and he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed of all their sin. And then in verse 31 and following, and it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking of these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all their men that appertained to unto Korah, and all their goods. Verse 33, and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And then the scripture says in verse 35, and there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Those that had rebelled against Moses and Aaron, God consumed them. God destroyed them by a earthquake, swallowed them up, the scripture says. And then those that stood around making incense at the offering at the altar, God consumed them with fire. God's judgment fell by way of a geological event that today we call earthquakes, and the Bible refers to it as such. I believe we have a caller on the phone. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Doctor. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to speak as quickly as I can. What you're talking about is absolutely right on, but you may be missing an even greater point that I would like to put in play to your listening audience. First of all, God does always speak to these people, both Jews and Gentiles, through earthquakes. I encourage you and the listeners to look up the New Madrid Fault that occurred in the late 19th century, a very seminal century for our country's history and for dispensational theology. The greatest earthquake that occurred in this nation occurred on the New Madrid Fault, which is between Arkansas and Missouri. And it is going to cut loose one day, and it's going to devastate Memphis and St. Louis. So you can validate what I'm saying by simply Googling the New Madrid Fault and what happened there in the late 19th century. But here's the point. You're talking about fault stress. And here is something that should make a devastating point to those that are listening about God's pending judgment. The earthquake that we all know about in California is the earthquake on April the 18th, 1906. At that time, the Richter scale did not exist. However, stress measurement was being taken on that fault. Now, I'm going to use an arbitrary number here because I can't remember the specific number, but I think it was 56 centimeters of stress existed on the San Andreas Fault in the area of San Francisco in 1906. What that means is when the fault is not locked up, but it's moving one side relative to the other and stress is not building up, it's moving at about 1 centimeter a year in those areas where it isn't locked. Since 1906, moving at 1 centimeter a year, there has been no major release of energy on the San Andreas Fault. No major release of energy. The lateral faults, have gone off as they did last week in California. But there's been no major release of energy on those areas in the San Andreas Fault that are locked up. Let's say in the area of Palmdale, California, as example. Now, it's a very simple mathematical process to determine the magnitude of the stress on the fault by doing this. In 1906, 56 centimeters of stress existed on the fault. If it's moving at 1 centimeter a year and there's been no major release of energy on the fault since then, this being 2019, my math tells me we have 119, I'm sorry, 113 centimeters of stress on the fault, or twice what existed in San Francisco in 1906, twice the energy. Now, that even though the Richter scale did not exist from the surface movements in San Francisco and the damage done, it's possible to know that that earthquake was approaching a 9 on the Richter scale. If 56 centimeters of stress in the San Francisco area and the Palmdale area equals a what's called a great quake, then what does 113 centimeters of existent potential stress indicate? A catastrophic shaking of the earth. Now, you can't assume necessarily a linear or an exponential relationship, but the point is more stress exist on the San Andreas Fault in the area of that pagan city of San Francisco today than did 113 years ago when a really devastating quake took place. But I want to make the point that in mid-America, what people don't think about, there are over 1,000 microquakes every day on the New Madrid Fault. The potential for disaster in this nation is great, and it has been the grace of God that has kept us
absolutely
from being destroyed. We are tempting our Father. No, we're not tempting Him. I think judgment, frankly, has fallen and has had after the days of Manasseh, for whom in Revelation 15:6, God said, because of Manasseh, you will be judged, and even King Josiah, the great king after him, still died in battle. And Israel, three kings later, was carried off into Babylon. I think you're right on. Americans need to know the potential for disaster in California, but to remember, in the middle of America, the greatest earthquake in our history took place at the end of that very seminal 19th century that's so important to the dispensational theology that you teach. thank you for letting me have my opinion. God bless you, sir.
Yes, thank you so much for your input. In fact, I was about to say that one of the things that I have recently read by the from the geologist out in the California area, they're saying that this big one that they keep speaking of must take place based on exact facts and details that you were just speaking of by the year 2030, that they're expecting the big one sometimes between now and then. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that if the rapture is potential and it is imminent, it could happen in the next 15 seconds, it could happen today or tomorrow, it could happen in the next few days or the next few weeks or the next few years. I believe, it's my most humble opinion, based on the authority of the Word of God, that it could happen at any moment. The rapture of the church is imminent. And I believe as Christians, we'll be snatched out of this old world, but there'll be doom and devastation that will be left for those that have not said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. I believe God uses earthquakes throughout the Old Testament in particular. You find it talked about it in the days of King Uzziah, an earthquake, and you find in the one that I just shared in the Numbers 16 text where Korah rebelled against Aaron and Moses, and God destroyed them in a gigantic earthquake where the earth just opened and swallowed them up. That wasn't by accident. That was by design, purpose, and sovereign hand of God because of wickedness. But ladies and gentlemen, is it possible today, asking it as a question, is it possible today that God is saying to California, look up, listen to me, stop your refusal to listen to me and to be obedient to me? Is it possible that God's saying that, okay, California, you're thumbing your nose in my face, you're thumbing your nose at God, and therefore we're going to deal with that through God's judgment and God's justice? You see, in California, especially found there in the San Francisco area, it's what I call the hotbed of the sodomite lifestyle. It is the hotbed of the LGBTQ agenda, if you will. Then you find most of the liberal state of California is a drughead state. In fact, California, the most liberal state in the United States of America when it comes to drugs and the recreational use of pot, where they're bringing in some $5.5 to $6 billion a year in tax revenue, and they're opening the doors of Pandora's box by having no borders and being a place where they say welcome to all of the illegals coming in, that they're going to pay everything using taxpayers' money to do so. California has all but banned guns in the state of California. California is the most liberal drug state and the immoralities of gambling that you could find. Remember, it's Nancy Pelosi's state, the state of California. California is the most liberal when it comes to abortion and euthanasia and infanticide. I could go on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen, with the problem that you find in the state of California. My question is, could it be God's judgment that is falling and he plans on it in a proliferating fashion across the state as a result of them saying no to God? I'm sure they're wonderful Christian folks out there. I don't question that at all. I'm not saying that all of California, the residents, are atheists and heathens and bad people at all. Many of them have been trapped in a state that's a lifestyle that's beyond what they would like and do, but it's because of the leadership in the state of California. Ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind that God will use earthquakes in the last days of the tribulation to bring about his judgment upon a Christ-rejecting, God-hating, Christian-hating world. Let me just read you several texts. Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17, and that's dealing with the early parts of the days of the tribulation. Let me read you a few of those verses. And I beheld, when he opened his sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun was blackened as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as the fig casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken by an almighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the scripture goes on and on. That's in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 8, verses 5 and following. The scripture says, and an angel took a censer that was filled with fire off the altar and cast it into the earth, and their voices and the thunderings and the lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the trumpets prepared themselves to sound. That's the sound of the seven trumpets of judgment in the days of tribulation. And in Revelation chapter 11, verses 13 and 14, and the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain 7,000 men, and the remnant were affrighted, and they gave glory to the God of heaven. You see, as you study the text and understand, in the days of the tribulation, God intensifies the earthquakes, the astrological and the geological events that are taking place to get the attention of humanity, that they might look to God, that they might repent and say yes to him, and that they might be delivered. Revelation chapter 11, verse 19. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and they were seen in the temple of the Ark of the Testimony, and there were lightnings and voices and thunders and an earthquake and great hail. Revelation 16, verse 18 and following. And the voices, and there were voices and thunderings, lightnings, there was a great earthquake, such as was not seen a man upon the earth, so mighty was the earthquake and so great. The latter portion of that says, and every island fled away, and every mountain was not found, and men blasphemed God. And the plague of the hail continued. Ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus Christ returns and he sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, according to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 5, and you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, the valley of the mountains shall reach there unto Ezel and flee there, and ye shall flee before the earthquake in the days as in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. Ladies and gentlemen, God uses earthquakes to get the attention of humanity that we might say yes to him and turn from our wicked ways and say yes to Christ. So let's pray that in California and across America, people will turn back to Christ and say yes to him as Savior and as Lord. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.